King Uzziah died not because he was blocking Isaiah's vision, but because a new season is about to come. So Isaiah needed to see what to do next. It's not as if you start killing King Uzziah's so that you can see. King Uzziah's cannot stop your vision. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. The enemy is inside, it's not outside. Until you start saying, where is God my maker? Like Elihu said. He said, no one says, where is God my maker? They start crying because of the arm of the oppressed. They don't say, what is my relationship with God my maker like? That is where the problem is. The only things that can stop our destiny are the things we do against those destinies by ourselves. So that God is compelled to withhold the manifestation of those things. I said something at the beginning, that the destiny is the will of God. Remember that. It's what God has written for you. And I want us to remember something. The will of God does not come to pass automatically. Let me say it again. The will of God does not come to pass automatically. If it came to pass automatically, Jesus would not have made it a prayer point. You say, but say you call it the will of God. This is what I mean. God issues decrees. Everything that occurs on this earth is God's judgment, is God's decree. But what they call his will, what the Bible calls his will, is that which he desires for you. That which he wrote down for you. And what am I trying to say? He's saying that there's a possibility that will refuse for it to happen. I hope you're getting my point. We can refuse. Let me give an example. Who killed the nation of Israel, or who decreed that they would die in the wilderness? Everybody 20 years and above. Who did? Was it God himself? Was it not the devil? But was that what he wanted to happen? Can you see what I'm saying? What was his will? His will was that they would leave Egypt, stay a short while in the wilderness, and enter into the promised land. But they tempted God in the wilderness and limited the Holy One of Israel. Because they limited what he could do in their lives, he had to decree that they died in the wilderness. So you see, what happened was his decree. But was that his will? No. What am I saying? Your destiny, my destiny, will come to pass as long as we continue walking with God and don't do things or create spiritual climate that make it impossible. They went and spied the land and decided that God was not able. And God said, fine, if that's the way you like it, in that case, my ability in your life has been removed. Therefore, all of you, 20 years and above, every adult here will die in the wilderness. Then I will start my work with your children. And listen to me, if the children had done the same thing, they too will have died there. And God will wait for another generation. What just pains people like me is that Caleb and Joshua had to stay with them. That's why you have to pray for your brethren. You can't be blessed alone. They can hold you back. The whole country could develop overnight, but there are too many Nigerians preventing it from developing. Why they are pointing fingers at the head of state and one or two people, forgetting that they themselves are the problem. Just by the way, President Buhari cannot fight corruption if we want corruption. Did you hear what I said? The only way anybody will fight corruption successfully is if we Christians, because ideally it's everybody, but God has done in such a manner that, of course, he knows that everybody will not agree. So he says, I need a select few, what he calls the elect or the remnant or the salt of the earth. If they will all agree that no more corruption, it will stop. So he said, Christians, just agree, no more corruption. Not just by prayer, but in action. That is, every pastor should go to church and every Sunday. Offering time, blessing time. Today, if you stole money and you brought it here, God will not accept the sacrifice in Jesus' name. Amen. If you say that every Sunday, you know, corruption will stop. If Khan can agree, they write a line that before we receive offerings, we will say, offerings from monies taken illegally, through fraud, through overinflation of government contracts, through this, through that, is not acceptable by God. Anybody who brings it to church will not be blessed by it. If we just make a short one paragraph statement and distribute to all the churches and declare that every pastor must repeat it before offering time every Sunday, corruption will end in Nigeria in 2 years. And what is scripture? It is written, the curse of God is in the house of the thief. Listen, and don't take it to Moscow, just churches alone. Catholic Church, Anglican Church, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, whatever. We just issue a simple statement from Khan and read that. Whether you believe it or not, just read it out. Anytime you say it's time for offering, just read that statement. Offering taken from corrupt money, stolen money, drug money, You just read it out. All kinds of frauds not accepted by God. And if you bring it here, you will not be blessed by it. It is written, the curse of the Lord is in the house of a thief. Let's just read it like that every Sunday. It's only 2 years. President Buhari will be looking for corruption to fight. He will not see. Corruption, don't fight us. We are going. We are going to Mali. The Lord is good. So you see, I just wanted to drop that. Not us pointing fingers. Our destiny is we that can withhold the destiny. And I want to look at a few examples of people in the Bible and how they stopped their own destiny. Let's start with the man Reuben. True enemies of destiny, revealing them, overcoming them. Genesis chapter 49, quickly. There's a reason why Reuben was the firstborn. There's a reason. Now, verse 1. Then Jacob summoned his sons and said, assemble yourselves that I may tell you what will befall in the days to come. Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob. Genesis 49, I mean verse 2. Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Now, he now began to teach and to prophesy. Reuben, you are my firstborn. Now, listen to this. Destiny, beautiful destiny, prophetic destiny, envious destiny, glorious destiny. Let's see how this man scattered it. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. Preeminent in dignity and in power. He said, but this is the problem. You are as uncontrolled as water. You shall not have that destiny of preeminence. Are you seeing that? He said, you're uncontrolled as water. You shall not have preeminence. Why? Because you went up to your father's bed. Then you defiled it. He said, oh, he went up to my couch. Let's just read the next line. Simeon and Levi are two of a kind. They are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their counsel. Let not my glory be united with their assembly. Because in their anger they slew men, and in their self-will they lamed oxen. Cursed is their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Are you seeing that? Simeon had a beautiful destiny. He had everything that would go well to making the destiny come to pass. Preeminent in power, preeminent in dignity. But he could not control his sexual desires. Number one reason people lose their destiny is sexual immorality. God loved David, loved David, loved David. David did everything right. But the case of Uriah, what happened? Woman was bathing. You know, that story that Nathan told, you must understand, the story that Nathan told about David, that is the parable he told. There was a man who had many flock. Then there was one man who had only one. Was literal in the life of David. David had many wives. He had many concubines. Uriah had only one. But David could not control his urge. And that was what almost destroyed his kingdom. At this point, we just add it. Thank God for repentance. Thank God that God was able to restore what David was going to destroy. And this is where recorded for our learning. You see, many people, men will say that they're having problems, which is disturbing them. Married man, he drives to the house of the pastor and tells his girlfriend to wait. And they are prophesying that your wife is a witch. You are a fool. Your wife is a witch, but you are a fool. Your wife may be a witch, but I'm giving you the word of God. You are a fool. Because a foolish man that commits adultery. And of course, you've been blinded by your iniquity. You can't see the truth. That's why a man will tell you, bring an offering to break the power of the witch. A man that has never given his wife 100,000 naira gives a false prophet 500,000. It's the judgment of God against his iniquity. America wants to, learn the lesson the Bible says from the fig tree. Right now, America wants to appoint a Supreme Court justice. At the age of 17, it's claimed, I'm not saying it's true, okay? But let's look at this. At the age of 17, it was claimed that he attempted to sleep with one of his classmates, one girl that was in the same school. That's all, attempt. He tried to use force. Of course, the girl did not agree, she fought him off and everything. The girl is currently testifying against him 39 years later. By my own understanding of things, nothing will happen out of it, okay? I just believe that he will still be confirmed for certain reasons. I'm not talking about that now. Let's not talk about American politics. But the point is this. What he did 39 years ago is pursuing him around right now. There's no witch there. That is why the Bible says, flee youthful lusts. I was telling my wife the other day, you know, we're analyzing some things in the house. And I was just thinking about life. Okay, I'll listen to a particular message by, I think, Novahis or somebody. Or either Novahis or David Posse, one of the two of them, I was listening. And then he made a statement. I can't remember the statement now, but it kindled something in me. I think it was David Posse, yes. It was teaching, the one I was telling you about yesterday, about laying on of hands, whether the witch, if a witch wants to come to your house, it's not a witch. Otherwise, you're not a believer. Are you getting my point? Yes, that same message. The man explained something, you know, about the influence of the word of God. So, while I was into it, I just paused the message, began to talk with my wife. I said, this thing this man is saying, I have seen it happen. That God's word, okay, it transforms people. If anybody, no matter how lacking in intelligence somebody is, if a fellow focuses on the word of God, it takes some time, but the intellectual level will increase. It will increase. If the person was chronically sick, you focus on the word of God, the sickness starts getting better. It starts improving. It keeps improving. That's how God's word works. Then I said something to her. I said, but you know what iniquity does? It does the exact opposite. There are people that they will say, now this is what I want to say. Hey, there's madness in their family. There's no family that there's no madness. It's just because they never see something provoke them. Look, listen, why do you think half of people abroad are crazy? Loneliness drives people mental. One of the best-selling jobs in America is psychiatry. Because they don't have pastors to talk to. If you don't believe in God, you have to talk to somebody. Talk to a psychiatrist. A man will just get up in the morning. I told you about the one woman in Texas. My friends told me about it. That she stayed at home, cocked a gun, waited for, I think she had 4 or 5 children. Waited for them to come back from school, one by one. Shot them. As they are coming in, she'll shoot them. Keep the body down. Next one comes, she'll kill the next one. Killed all 4 or 5. Then when she was done, she called the police. That, please come, I've killed my children. They asked her, when police came, what happened? Said they were getting on my nerves. I was tired of them. That's madness in the family. You don't know madness in here because we don't carry guns anyhow. Before you can use cutlass to kill person, the person waited for you. If you bring cutlass and there's window. There's madness everywhere. I don't know. There's madness in family. There's madness everywhere. Everybody has different levels before they trigger. There was a day something happened to me. I won't tell you the story now. I remember I thought to myself, I said, oh, so this is how people go mad. I was so confused. I remember very well. I remember the day. I didn't remember the place. I said, okay, so this is how people go mad. Because I felt that I should go mad because the way things are going, something is not tying, you know, it looks like I should go mad. Now, I'm going somewhere now. One of the things in life, all of us, what we need is inner strength. I have found out. One of the ways by which people weaken their inner strength is sexual immorality. It drives them mad. It does. No. See, I don't have time to go into details, but take my word for it. It removes people's spiritual strength. In fact, if you read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I wrote something there because I wrote that book and the TV was behind me. I wrote it when I was in the US. And Billy Graham was showing on TV behind me. Okay? I wasn't listening. I was on the table. I was on the computer writing the book. Then he made a statement at that point. So I wrote it in the book. That as I'm writing this, Billy Graham is on TV and saying that people that are sexually promiscuous can't have faith. That it drains their ability to believe. Read the book. Great Faith Can Be Yours. I wrote it inside there. Because the TV was behind me. I was on the table with my laptop and I was typing away. I just heard him say that. I said, wow. Just the thing I was writing at that time on how to build up faith. Because it's with faith. The Bible says, be followers of those who through what? Faith and patience inherit promises. Every act of iniquity is reducing the likelihood that a man, a woman, will go near his or her destiny. Let's look at another example. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at Esau. We know the story of Esau, don't we? What was Esau? Firstborn. He was the senior of the twins, children of Isaac and Rebekah. But you know what happened to Esau? Let's look at how he lost his own destiny. Hebrews chapter 12. These are the true enemies of destiny, my people. Let's stop looking for a witch outside. These are the true enemies of people. Satan cannot have power over anybody until God has handed the person over to death because of his or her iniquity. Let's just read what he said about Esau in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's start from verse 14. It said, "Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification with which no one will see the Lord," even Christians. I just added that word for those who don't understand. It's something to pursue. Pursue peace, pursue sanctification. It says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." And it also says, "See to it that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright," it was his own, "for a single meal." He said, "For you know that even afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears." I wanted you to see the mind of God concerning the person of Esau. Esau was not a man who committed sexual immorality, the way you and I know it, but the Bible calls him immoral. Esau was not a man who at that time was stealing anybody's goods. I like the way Derek Prince described him. He said he was a good man. An Englishman would call him a nice chap. But the Bible calls him a godless man. The Bible calls him immoral. Why? He did not have value for holy things. That's what I want to say. Esau did not value holy things. For time's sake, I'll lump a number of our examples together. If you go to read the story in 1 Samuel, of his children of Eli. I hope you know that was the same thing. They did not value holy things. They did not value the blessing of God. Because we don't have all the time, so I'm lumping many things together now. Are you getting my point? What happened to Esau was that he said to his brother, "What is the use of this birthright to me?" Many of us have blamed Jacob for tricking his brother. But you know the truth? That was not the problem. Jacob had his issues and God corrected Jacob in due season. Are you getting my point? But the real problem was Esau. Esau was his own problem. Many of us here have cars, right? Two of us? Yes, we have cars. You have computers, you have laptops, you have phones. Let's leave cars. You have nice phones. Assume you bought your phone for 200,000 naira and then one day you are very hungry. I offered you one loaf of bread, which is 300 naira. And a bottle of drink, which is another 200 naira. Everything 500 naira that. Because you are very hungry and you are fainting, you are really hungry, you are really hungry. You think you are going to faint. Give me your phone and I'll give you the bread and drink. You go answer me. You know what you tell me? "Get behind me, Satan." You see, "Let me recover from this hunger. I will let the whole world know how useless a human being you are." What you are ready to sell for food is what you don't value. That's why they tell you that these girls are prostitutes because of hunger is a lie. Their bodies don't have value to them. If there was really hunger, why are they not begging? If you're a man of integrity, if you're a woman of integrity, which one would you rather do? Sleep with a man for food or stand by the roadside and beg? Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. When they now start blaming poverty for prostitution, I say stop telling us lies. It's a lack of value for holy things. If you felt your body was valuable, you wouldn't offer it for money. It's just because it doesn't have any value to you. So you just felt that, well, I'm already sleeping with all the boys in the neighborhood anyway for free. So why don't I just give it to somebody who will pay? I don't know whether you're getting the point. There's one woman who I read her story. I won't go into her story now. That was the logic with which she went into prostitution. She was an abused child. I'm not here criticizing her or anything. She was an abused child. She was abused, okay? She was a little girl, she was already being abused because her mother was perpetually drunk anyway. And men would come to the house with her mother. When the mother was falling asleep from alcohol, they would molest the little girl. So she grew up being molested. She didn't think anything of it. So by the time she was a young teenager, she was pregnant. And her mother made it clear to her she needed to contribute money to feeding this little baby that she has brought home. And she reasoned. So what can she do? Somebody said, "Look, we'll just go and find work." Now, which kind of work? Men are looking for who to sleep with. Her reason was that they've been sleeping with me for free all the while anyway. So if they want to pay, let them come now. And that was how she became a prostitute for the next maybe 15 years or so or more. But God delivered her. And I read this story. So I'm careful when I read stories in secular areas. Because she says, "I knew that this woman must have become a believer." Do you know why? One day, a man threw her out of the car. one of her customers, and closed the door and drove off, not knowing that her cloth was trapped by the door. So as he was driving off, he was dragging her. He did not know. So by the time he had driven her for two streets, you know, like what you take, American call it two blocks. Okay, by the time he had crossed two blocks, that's just from one street to another street. Okay? Across two streets like that, two junctions. That's when she got free. So she was bruised and battered. So she managed to crawl to the hospital. And she got there. While they were attending to her, they called the police. When the policeman came, he recognized her as a harlot. So he stopped taking her seriously. So they just started laughing. She was overhearing them laughing. I told her, yeah, no be a show. I'm one man with one thief in money and I ain't doing like that. So the policeman was gisting with the nurse instead of attending to her. So she said she had no attention. That was when the Holy Spirit finally got across to her. She said, God, these people think nothing of me. She realized that she was without value in their eyes. For the first time she felt bad in her life. For the first time she realized that I should have some value. That was when she prayed. That's what I'm telling the story. She said, I asked God, help me. He said, and God answered fast. This was in BBC News. So for them to state that, I knew there was more to it. So how did God answer? One young doctor appeared in the morning, attended to her, listened to her very well, felt sorry for her, and gave, after treating her, he gave her a note and said, go to such and so place, they will help you. And that was the end of prostitution in her life. That must have been a Christian mission. Only God transforms people like that. She's the one writing the story of her life. By that time, she was married. Showed a picture of her and her husband. I just want to finish that story. But what I'm telling you about it is that let nobody lie to you. There is hunger. No, it's lack of value. I'm not here to judge or criticize anybody, but let's call a spade so that we will know how to educate people. Let's stop making excuses for bad things. Tell the young men and young women, both of them, that you have value. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If they understand that, they will not throw it away for a morsel of meat. Those days, I remember the joke, because they wanted BlackBerry messengers. According to one guy, girls were collecting HIV because they wanted a BlackBerry. Now, the phone died. The whole company is gone. Your life is ruined. One of the reasons why people don't attain their destiny is what I'm talking about. They don't appreciate holy things. They treat holy things. I mean, that was what killed Eli. Listen, Eli and his sons. And of course, Eli himself. It was because he did not honor God. Because of time, I'm just going to quote these things, okay? We will not have time to read them. But you know where to find the story of Eli? It's in 1 Samuel chapter 1, all right? And that, in the early part of 1 Samuel. Now, if you go to chapter 3, from chapter 2, you see the story of the sons of Eli and all of that. But we won't read it now. But what I want to understand about it is this. Eli's sons were meant to be priests. A man of God came and said concerning Eli, he said, I did indeed say to your house and the house of your father that you walk before me forever. He said, now the Lord declares, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. He said, now notice this. God had promised these people that they will be priests before him forever. He said, but now, far from him, it will not happen. Why? They were lightly esteeming God. How did they do it? Two ways. Number one, his sons were treating the sacrifices of God with disdain. They were. Our time won't allow me to talk about many ways we do it. Even with our food, we insult God every day. Like I say to Christians all the time, the part of God in your food is a thanksgiving. But the world has taught us to look for cholesterol and salt and sugar, how it was cooked, whether it has whether the meat was they fed on corn, cooked with pesticides, whether it has carcinogens. Those are the things we are worried about. We are not worried about saying, God, thank you for the food you have given me. We are despising holy things. Let's bear that in mind. The second reason was that the man himself did not correct his son. But what I want to bring out is this. They lost their inheritance because God said, now, far be it from me. Was he a witch that denied Eli and his son's priesthood forever?
No.
What denied them forever? They did not honor God. They treated holy things with disdain. Let's never forget this. Another example, we'll look at all of these things. How people lose their inheritance. One major reason why people lose their inheritance, let me quickly explain that. One of the ways they do is when they disobey divine order to get to their destiny. It's one major way people lose their destiny. Our best example there, of course, is Adam and Eve. One major way by which you will lose your destiny is your rush to get it, which leads you. That's what the Bible says, cease from anger, cease from worry. It only leads to what? Wrongdoing. That's what David said. Cease from strife, cease from anger, cease from worry. He put all of these things together. He said it leads to what? Wrongdoing. One major way by which people lose their inheritance is disobeying divine order in the hurry to get that inheritance. Let me give a few examples. For time's sake, we'll just rush through it. We will not read the scriptures. Now, we know about Adam and Eve. What did God say to them? Don't eat of this tree. You can eat every other one, but this one don't eat. And Satan came to them and said what? You will be like God. Now, I want you to understand something. That was divine plan. You hear what I said? That was the plan of God. That they will become like God. That was the plan of God. That they will become what? Like God. I don't have time to explain it in details now. But what God expected was that they would develop through a process until they get to the point where they become exactly like him. They were going to use a process. That's why he put the tree of life there in the first place. Now that was God's plan. That will develop and become like God. Now you now say that, did it really happen like that? Go and read your Bible. I don't have time now. But you will see, after they ate it and God began to judge, you know what he said? He says, look at it now. Man has become what? Like one of us. So Satan didn't really lie in that sense. That if they ate it, they will become like God. Sometimes when people lie to you, when people tempt you with something, do this, you'll become rich. You do it, you actually become rich. I hope you are getting my point. Many of the ways they offer people to break rules and get a result, it works. That's the danger about disobedience to God. It works. It gets you what you are looking for. Except that that blessing has been corrupted. And eventually the corruption inside it will manifest. What happened to these people? They ate the tree. They became like God. But one thing they did not tell them is that when you have become like God, God takes responsibility. You can't stay in the garden. They thought they would become like God and remain in the garden. But they became like God. Say, God, say, okay, go and work your miracle outside. Go and grow your own food. Go and protect yourself. Go and heal yourself. You want to be like God? Hey, now you are like God. Manage your own life. And that's where we are till today. It's always a problem when we want to use human method to get the results that God designed for us. That's why those who join cults, okay, they offer sacrifices and it works. And let me tell you something you may not have known before. Listen to what I want to say carefully. There is nothing the devil can give anybody that God did not plan to give him before. There is nothing. The devil does not have the power to give you what God never wanted to give you. The difference between God and Satan is that God always goes through a process because every blessing is waiting. There is no blessing that does not have weight. And people can be crushed under the weight of the blessing. That is why the word for glory in the Old Testament is weight. That is, when they want to say this thing is weighty in the Old Testament, they say, carry that thing. They say, I can't carry it. It's too heavy. You will say it is too glorious. That's the word for Hebrew, in Hebrew. So God calls glory weight. And that's why in the New Testament, when Paul wanted to speak to the Corinthians, he talked about what? The weight of glory. What am I trying to say? Everything you are looking for as a glory in life is weighty, is heavy. Being a billionaire is heavy. It can kill. The richest man in the world at the time, his name is Paul Getty. Paul Getty's son said money was a curse to our family. I don't know whether I get my point. The richest man in the world right now is Jeff Bezos. Bill Gates has been for many, many years. Warren Buffett has been there. Many of us know these people, know of them. Now, this is the point. This was the richest man in that time. He had children. The only surviving one of them at the time said, money was a curse that God placed upon our family. Because, do I need to tell you what they must have gone through for a young man to utter that statement? So all those who are sitting there envying Dangote, no, he's carrying weight. So what God does for his people is that he makes them go through a process of muscle building. I saw one man enter here just now. I saw his yams. I was afraid. I said, God has sent me a bodyguard. He didn't build that overnight. I mean, I used to do small gym in those days from the time I was young. You don't build muscle overnight. The other day when my son came and said, Daddy, my hands are paining me. So I touched it. I could feel his muscles were tender. They were firm and tender. He wasn't feeling well. I said, have you joined your brother? He started smiling. They had been bodybuilding in their room, doing push-ups. So the boy had done push-ups until his muscles were sore. So next day, he couldn't move. He was walking like this. When I touched this boy's tricep, I was afraid. What have you been up to? That's what God does with us sometimes. We go through these small difficulties because one day he's going to drop a massive weight of responsibility on our heads. And he said, I need you to have muscle to carry it. But Satan says, no. That's why God used to say, walk before me and be perfect and I will bless you. Satan says, just bow to me, I give you today. He tried it with Jesus also. Tell everybody that made money from a cult that this is the money God will have given you double of without your children dying, without you being sick, without you having trouble, without you sacrificing your wife, your family, your marriage, your health. God said, you are ready to sacrifice. All you needed with me was to wait and walk with me. You will have reached the same place and beyond. There's not one cobble that Satan can give somebody that God did not plan before. That's why it's a matter of fact. I believe it very strongly. Many people who try those things, they die in the process. Why? They are pursuing what God said no to. So Satan tries to get it. God just says, no, I'm not giving him. But he's made the sacrifices, so he dies. They now say he died trying to join a cult to make money. These are real things. As our musicians, they will join too. They blow. As they are blowing, you know what they call blowing? They are blowing into cocaine too, into LSD, into drugs. They can't see straight. They start dying. There are different ways to work with Satan, to get things up. It's not everybody that joins a cult. Some just join gangs. When I say gang now, they just join groups. A lot of girls will leave church. I mean, how many of you know Whitney Houston? She was a church girl, church singer, trained in the church choir. Her voice training was given to her by B.B. Winans. I heard it from her mouth in a video. B.B. Winans was the one that taught Whitney Houston how to fine-tune her voice. Church girl. Then, she sang, began to sing in bars here and there. Then one man called a man one day. That was the man that gave her money last before she died. They called him and said, come and listen to this girl sing. He heard her once and said, this girl is the most talented vocalist I have ever heard in my life. Till today, she's still on record as possibly the best the world has ever heard. He said, instantly signed her up. This girl is going far. But of course, she liked the life. Bobby Brown?
Yes,
came into her life. Taught her how to smoke Igbo. Church girl, they don't smoke Igbo in her house. Her family, they don't smoke Igbo. Bobby Brown, it was normal. It was vegetable in their house. I watched him being interviewed. Who would believe that Whitney Houston, the best vocalist the world had ever seen, died broke? Died on drugs. The following year, her only daughter followed too. Became unconscious from drug overdose and died. You don't shortcut God's processes to get a blessing. That is why people's destinies are hindered. Another very important reason. Satan tried it with Jesus. He said, bow to me, I give you all the kingdoms. But what did the Bible say later in Revelation? It said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and it will reign forever and ever. If you are bowed to Satan, it will have become the kingdom of Jesus, the son of Mary, that time. And they will have reigned for a few decades, and then he will have died. But he did not listen to Satan. He didn't. Didn't he listen to Satan? He followed the Lord. He went to the cross, suffered on the cross. I told you about my little boy whose muscles were sore. If he continued like that, you know, the muscles become strong. He'll become big. Then one day you drop a big weight, you pick it like nothing happened. But imagine, so he saw somebody carrying a big weight and he jumps on that and they drop it on him. He didn't go through all those, that sore muscle. What will happen? He gets crushed. He will die. But Jesus went to the cross so that at the end of the day, it was fulfilled, the word of God. He said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. This time around, he will reign how? Forever and ever. If you wait for God's time, it may appear long, but that's the one that lasts forever. Another one I should explain is a man, Demas. For time's sake again, I'll rush it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 is also an extension of not valuing holy things. Paul said, Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present age. Satan, when he wants to tempt you away from God's destiny, is always money, comfort. Please, I always like to add this. You can go anywhere in the world, but never go because you are looking for comfort. That's Genesis 49 we're reading. Read further down. He said, Issachar is like a strong donkey, lying down between the sheepfolds. He said, when he found that the resting place was good and that the land was pleasant, he said, he bent his back to bear the burden and became a slave at forced labor. A child of God never runs up and down. Listen, some of the things you are looking for in life, you get there, you're only average. There are people that God says, stay where I have kept you. There you will become excellent. You will become outstanding. Instead of being a worker all your life, a time will come, 100 people, 2,000 people, 100,000 people will be working for you. The time will come. But it doesn't come overnight. Stay where I have kept you. Before you leave any town, village, city, or country and move to another one, people of God, pray. Many people have made those decisions and they have only walked out of destiny. I want you to understand it. Many have made those decisions and they've walked out of destiny. Anytime you are making such decisions and the only thing that is pulling you is money, comfort, just know of a certainty you are walking out of God's will. Your life must have value that you are adding to people. One of the reasons ways people miss their destiny is Demas, what I call the Demas principle. Every little increase in salary, they have jumped. If they hear that something is selling in Abuja, they've gone to sell it. If it's not selling again, they have come to Enugu. If it's not working in Enugu, they have gone to Lagos. And of course, when somebody comes to South Africa, they have gone. South Africa is not moving. They have gone to Europe. Europe, now they are facing America. America, they are going to Australia. Running to and fro like the devil. Why? Looking for comfort. But God plants people. If they stay where God planted them, you know what happens? They become outstanding. If they stay where God planted them, they become outstanding. That is what happens. It takes time. We are the only ones that can short-circuit our destiny. Nobody else can. That's why we're talking about the true enemies of destiny. These are the things that are the true enemies of destiny. Did I talk about Samson? Oh, no need to start the story of Samson again. Please go and read my book, Beyond Gifts and Talents. That will preach that message about Samson for you. It will help me today so that I won't spend time. So this message is continuing inside the book, Beyond Gifts and Talents. Somebody say, how do I get the book? Just go to our website. One click, it is yours. It's free to download. Please get a copy and read. It's one of those books that just is small. You can read it at a sitting. An hour, if you're a fast reader, in less than an hour, you're done with it. But that's what I taught in the book, Beyond Gifts and Talents. Samson died not because of Delilah. I hope you understand that. I hope you know Delilah did not kill Samson. No, Delilah didn't. It was Samson that killed Samson. Delilah only helped Samson to kill Samson. And Samson went to Gaza. There he saw a woman. And he went to Ashkelon. There he saw a harlot. That's why he was seen and seen and seen. May the Lord blind Samson. Somebody say amen. Anyway, he finally was blinded. It's better to blind him early because a blind Samson will still have worked miracles. But they wouldn't have been able to kill him. As he was seen. Be careful what you are seeing. Men, the Bible calls a deacon an example of being a man of one woman. It didn't say only deacons should be men of one woman. You know what it means? Man of one woman. It said a deacon should be what? A husband of one wife. Paul didn't say a husband of one wife. He said a man of one woman. The only literal Greek is man of one woman. One man is that. It doesn't mean you can have two wives if you don't want to be a deacon. He was saying to deacons, you can only have one wife and no girlfriend. I don't know whether I get my point. It's not as if, okay, I only have one wife, but I have two concubines. One is in Enugu. Anytime I go to Enugu, I see her. The one is in Abuja. Anytime I go to Abuja, I see her. But me, I live in Lagos. How many wives is that? It's one wife, but two concubines. What Paul said, a deacon must be what? A man of one woman. Of course, that one woman is his wife. There was one man, he died the other day in Enugu. Very painful death. You know the kind of people that die, and the family, instead of crying, They are hoping he will wake up for 1 hour so they can beat him and then kill him by themselves. There are people that have died, you are angry. Your death is not the issue, it's painful. But for dying, I wish you could wake up so I can kill you myself. Because nice man, nice family, doing working for a government or a big company in Abuja. They're on Facebook. Instead of facing his work, he was facing the book and chatted with one girl. And they chat. And so chat become physical meeting. And so he meets the girl for when he traveled to one place. Let's not name the name of the place. Anyway, it's his dead body they removed from the hotel. Instead of being a man of one woman, he traveled and became a man of one concubine extra beyond his wife. It's Samson, No, people's destiny are removed. Listen, these are the things that kill Christians. The Bible says this is where they call it for our learning. Many preachers have killed their ministry. Listen, the time things fall is not the time your problem began. Like I read yesterday, A.W. Tozer said, no war is fought that day. It's won and lost the day before the day it was fought, I wanted to say. These are the things that killed destiny. Samson did not die the day he met Delilah. He died long before. Went to the house of a harlot, left some strength there. Please, let me not preach the message. Go and read that book, Beyond Gifts and Talents. That book is an analysis of the life of Samson. In fact, the subtitle is Why Gifted People May Fail. That is the subtitle of that book. Why Gifted People May Fail. Samson failed not because of Delilah, not because of the Philistines, but because he wasted his own energy. When we have finished doing that, we start blaming witches. What can we do therefore so that our destinies will not be wasted? Like I said, is to follow God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, be followers of them. Let's just read that one, because so that we'll read a number of scriptures. Hebrews chapter 6, quickly. He said, but beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, that he was talking about those who have fallen away. Verse 9, sorry. And things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work, and the love which you have shown toward his name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you will show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you would not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So you will not be sluggish, but you will become imitators of those who, using their faith and their patient endurance in their walk with God, inherit their destiny. Faith is a tangible thing. Faith means that I take the word of God as my law. Now, let me just summarize. This is what we can do. Faith means I accept what God's word has said concerning me. Faith means that I heard that my destiny is in Christ Jesus, I believe it. Faith means I focus on that. I live like that. I don't run to and fro. That is number one. That's the meaning of faith. Secondly, this is what faith means. Faith means that because I believe these things, I realize that only God can bring forth my destiny. For that reason, I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. I do that constantly because I understand that it is God that will bring forth my destiny. He's the one that has appointed my inheritance. He's the one that will bring it to pass in due season. Each time I walk with him on a daily basis in a manner that is pleasing to him. Faith means I would not break the rules of God to get any result in life. That's what faith means. God may not come to me and whisper, go and sacrifice your son. He just says, do this and make money. Refuse to do it and don't make money. And it is a temptation. Faith says, I would rather die poor, believing God, than make money disobeying him. That's what faith means. He says, only when people walk like this that they will inherit the promises of God. Faith means that sometimes the land is dry, but God will say to Isaac, sow in that land. Have you heard that before? Everybody was running to Egypt. Isaac too was on his way to Egypt, but God stopped him on the way. Where are you going? The Bible says, and Isaac sowed in that land. And in the same year, he did what? He reaped 100-fold. And he continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. I hope you're getting my point. Faith means that sometimes I take a difficult environment and I sow in it. Many people's destinies, all right, will not manifest because they are waiting for the land to be fruitful first. The Bible says, he that watches the wind will not sow, and he that observes the cloud will also what? Not reap. That is, I like the way New Living Bible says it, or New Living Translation. Or is it goodness? One of those simple ones. Is there anybody waiting for conditions to be perfect? We get nothing done. I want to challenge somebody. Get up and do something. Don't wait for conditions to be perfect. Don't wait for conditions to be perfect. When I started in ministry, I did everything myself. Write the tracks, type it, rush to printer, do this, do press, everything. Sometimes I look back and I just start laughing. Maybe I was just having fun. My wife and I, personally, we fold all the tracks. 10,000 tracks, only two of us folded. Folding tracks in the house. She was at home that time, took a leave. Folding tracks and sharing it everywhere. But I had friends who said that, no, they are going out to go and do business. When they have made money, they now bring money and start ministry. They have not done it yet today. Anybody waiting for conditions to be perfect will do what? Get nothing done. Remember, it is through what? Faith and patience that we inherit promises. What we said is overcoming what? The enemies of destiny. We have seen that the enemies are now outside. Where's the enemy? Inside us. So what we need to do is overcome disobedience. Overcome slothfulness. So that we won't be sluggish. Overcome iniquity. Overcome temptation. Overcome the desire for quick wealth. These are the things that should change the destiny of Christians. Not anything outside. I hope you've learned something. Let's bow down here to pray. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks.